Lord, we do thank you tonight, God, for the time that that we have together, Lord. And I do pray that, Lord, as we look at this, that once again, it wouldn't just be reading about history and looking at something that happened to a group a long time ago, but we would know and understand, man, this happened to people just like us. And God, when we understand the heart you have, the devotion you have, the love you have for them, God, I pray for us in this room, Lord, that we would leave here tonight so strong in our love for you, so built up in our faith of understanding your faithfulness. God, that it would encourage us to go and face our lives, Lord, whether we're going through struggles or whether things are going well, but we could go out those doors into that world, Lord, and be men and women who are confident of their God. And Lord, that you would demonstrate that in our hearts tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you were here last week, you remember we left off. Hezekiah was king. And remember, he came in and he did the radical changes from his dad. Remember, his dad was like the worst king ever for Israel or for Judah. Like the worst. And now you have one of the best ever. And I always think that's great because, you know, I get tired of people saying, well, you don't understand. You know, I come from this family and here's what my family did. And, you know, that was my example. And so now I have to do that. No, you don't. Listen, Christian, if you're born again, the old has passed away. You're a new creation in Christ. You need to live it and you need to own it and you need to understand it and not let that past, your own past, much less your family's past, get you. And I love Hezekiah, man. Don't you know that people talked to him? Don't you know people said, do you know how bad your dad was? Doesn't matter how bad my dad was. I'm me, right? So we saw him cleaning everything up. And remember, we talked about it, and he cleaned all the way into the first month of the year. Remember what the first month of the year is? I asked all of you last time, and you flunked that quiz, pop quiz. What are you supposed to do on the 14th day of the first month? Passover, thank you. Yeah, some did sign language for me. So they skipped that. Now we're going to get into, listen, he's going to continue that. But first we have to catch back up what's going on in Israel. We read this earlier in Kings, but it's here in 18. Then we're going to jump over to Chronicles and finish up. But look at 18, 9 through 12. It kind of gives us a shortened version of what we read in 16 and 17. Now it came to pass on the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria, put them in Hala and by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. So again, that's just a synopsis. It's taking us back to Israel because tonight we're going to read something incredible that goes on in Israel, not just Judah, but Israel, that's important for us to understand, especially for those people who say there was lost tribes that were never found and they disappeared. I just don't like that. Listen, there are not 10 lost tribes. God doesn't lose nothing or nobody. You know, if he could lose 10 tribes, then all of us would be a little bit, I'd be a little bit concerned about me, that he'd like lose me, because I'm kind of small compared to 10 tribes. So listen, he doesn't lose anything. He never lost 10 tribes. As a matter of fact, we're going to see tonight, they were still around. They were still there. So you don't have to stay there. Go over to Chronicles chapter 30. And this is where we're going to pick up. And to me, man, this is like the celebration of celebrations. This had to be it. I think for the nation of Israel, if there should be, you know, degrees of, man, this was the day. This had to be one of their top five celebrations of all their history. Remember what's gone on. And just to catch us up, remember you had King David, then you had King Solomon, and then you had the civil war and you had the split. You had 10 tribes go to the north, 2 tribes stay to the south. That was 200 years ago here, not here, but in what we're studying. a couple hundred years ago. And listen, you have all of that going on. You had they didn't get along. You have enemies coming against them. Now, listen, now Assyria has come in and demolished the leadership of the 10 tribes to the north. That's taken place. And now, listen, the south is a little bit nervous because, man, if the north's gone, listen, the south was a lot smaller in numbers and geographically, so they got to be a little bit tense. But along came King Hezekiah. He's cleaned everything up. And listen, I think it's been a while. I think it took a while to clean everything up. And then when they finally finished cleaning everything up, you come to that first day or the 14th day of the first month, they couldn't do it. So here's what they did. Look at verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel. You need to underline that. Listen. He sent it to all Israel. Who's he king of? Judah. What's he doing? He's sending to Israel. Remember, they've been taken. Things are bad. He sent to Israel. We need to get a hold of that. And he sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem and keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. Here's what he's saying. Hey, I know you guys, listen and kind of get this. I know you guys have been run over. Your country has been sacked. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to Judah. I want you to come to Jerusalem. And I want you to celebrate God the Deliverer. Have you ever put that together? They didn't experience too much deliverance, did they? But he's saying, coming, that would be kind of a tough sell, don't you think? Politically? To tell somebody, I know, listen, I know things aren't going real well for you, and I know things didn't work out real well for you, but come on down, let's celebrate God to deliver. I don't think I want to come. So he's sending the letter, sending all of Judah, getting them together. And then it says, verse 2, for the king and his leaders and all the assembly of Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. Now listen, I love this because there's a lot going on in this chapter that is so against all the legalists of the world. And I only do that because I used to be one of those legalists, and it's like kind of fun like to just and kind of crash into them and bump into them. Here's what's going on. They were supposed to celebrate on the first month. Now they're going to do it on the second month. You can't do that. That's not what it says. Here's what Hezekiah said. I don't really care what it says. Listen, we didn't have enough people. We weren't sanctified. We weren't ready. We weren't prepared to do it on the first month. So guess what? We're going to do it on the second month. Oh, but you can't do that. And especially some of us get locked into tradition, right? It's funny how I think all of us, if we're really honest, have some tradition in our lives, you know, that we kind of glom onto. You know, even at Calvary, you know, the songs have to be certain order, certain way. You know, sometimes we do that. And I kind of like it when we mix it up a little bit. And people go, how come we stood up for two songs instead of just one? It's okay. Chill out, right? Think if we celebrated communion on the middle Wednesday of the month. Why are we doing that? We're supposed to do it the first Wednesday. So check it out, man. He like shakes things up. He's going to do it. Now, in his defense, in Numbers chapter 9, he does have a little bit of leeway. In Numbers chapter 9, 10 and 11, it says this. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of your posterity is unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover on the 14th day of the second month. At twilight, they may keep it. So see, there's a little bit of leeway there, right? You could do it. So listen, it was for somebody who couldn't be there. Here's what Hezekiah is saying. None of us could be there, so we're going to switch it, okay? Now that's only the tip of the iceberg of his going outside the box. Gotta love this guy, man. Because here's the thing about Hezekiah. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. Yeah, we're going to see he messes up a little bit, but we all do, don't we? Even though we love the Lord. So listen, he sets it out. He sends that out. Verse 3 explains why they did it. For they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered together at Jerusalem. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly, so they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, That's from north to south, right? And you know, you got it covering everything, that they should keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. So now, listen, now he sends out the invitation. So listen, he's got it, he's lining it all out, he sends it to everybody, and get this, man, these were guys that were fighting each other a while back. He's saying, come on, man, let's get rid of all that, and let's do this. Here's what he's saying, let's get back to the Lord. Let's get back to the basics. Let's forget about all that stuff. Let's move on. Kind of cool, huh? Hey, we might even put it this way. Let's unite and quit fighting. Sound a little familiar? Yeah, it's amazing what this chapter is doing in my head. But listen, verse 6, then the runners went throughout all Israel. Notice I'm kind of trying to drive that home that we understand. They went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders and spoke according to the commandment, to the command of the king. Children of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped the hand of the kings of Assyria. Wow! Do you hear what he's saying? You guys need to come back. You need to accept the Lord God, and he explains which one. Why? Because he wants to accept you, man. Come on, remnant. Come home. Come back. Is that cool? And that's our God. Listen, that's the heart of our God. He wants us, man. He desires that. The song we sing, man, he's a hurricane that's going to like, whoa, and run into you. Man, I love it. Listen, so he's already, and he's, you know, here the king is saying, come on, come on. And verse 7, do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, so that he gave them up to the desolation, as you see. So here's the thing, you're sitting there, and you're in Israel, and you see what Assyria's done, and generally, here's what happens in our lives, I would think, because this is the way I think you guys think kind of like me. Not totally, but... but when things go wrong in our lives, oftentimes we get a little miffed at God, don't we? And yet oftentimes it's we who caused it ourselves, but he should have interfered anyway, is what our thinking is, right? So listen, these guys, here's what he's saying. You guys know why you were carried off, or most of you. You know why Sennacherib, or not really him, but his other guy came in. You know why he came in? You know why he took you away? Because you refused to follow God. Now there's that remnant, and he's telling them, come on, come on. They're hiding in the trees and stuff up there in Israel. Come on down, come on down. And then verse 8, now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord. And he entered his sanctuary, which he had sanctified, forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. For if you return to the Lord... your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive so that they may come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Wow, what a letter to carry around to people, huh? Come on, guys, let's do this. And I get excited till I read the next verse. Don't read it yet. There's a little bit of anticipation going. Look up. Some of you are looking down reading. Stop it. And you got this going on, man. And I just, listen, do you sometimes think, wow, this is going to be so good? And you get excited. And I do when I read my Bible, and you know, and then I start talking to it. And then Gainel comes and tells me, settle down. But then you're just thinking, it's going to be good, man. This is really going to happen. And so they go through all of that. And then listen, verse 10, so runners passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, but they laughed at them and mocked them. Oh, man. And sometimes you try and build a bridge and the person you're building the bridge with burns it down, don't they? Oh, you just go, come on, we're so close. Now, I know some are going to make it, but that just disturbs me, man. They mocked them and laughed at them. Maybe they're thinking, huh, God, our deliverer, he didn't do much for delivering us. We're not going to go down there. That's stupid. And you think of the guys running back and going back and telling, here's what I think, man. They go back and they're telling the king, and the king is going, oh, bummer. But nevertheless, verse 11, nevertheless, some from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. You know, there are times where we just have to humble ourselves, isn't there? Times where we just got to bite it, man. And, you know, I think one of the most freeing things is to humble ourselves. There are times where we need to apologize, even though we may feel we're in the right. Just do it. Humble yourself. There are times we got to come before the Lord and admit that we caused the destruction in our life, not Him. And here's what happens, man. You do that, and you're going to be set free. And here's what I see, man. These people who didn't go along with the crowd, they're going to come down. Man, they are going to experience a move of God. I think unlike a move of God before in the history of Israel. Someone's buying coffee because I hear a little chime going. Nice ringtone, by the way. But anyway, listen, man, they're going to experience that, and God is going to move in a mighty way. So, some of them came down, some of them chose not to. Now, it says, verse 12, also the hand of God was on Judah. We can't forget Judah, right? Because they're not like choir boys. They're blowing it too. But the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the Lord, to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. Verse 13, this is where it gets it, man. Now many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. You know, I was reading one commentary and they were getting all, well, how come they one time they call it the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the other time they're calling it Passover? These people have it mixed up. And I'm thinking, no, you have it mixed up. Because one flows from the other. You do Passover and then you go right into the other one. And sometimes they call the entire event the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which makes sense, right? It's all kind of connected together. So they're not confused. The author of Kings is not confused. The author of Chronicles is not confused. Whenever I read that, it kind of cracks me up. Why do you think the author of Chronicles has it wrong? And, you know, and then they argue whether they're a Deuteronomic author or a, you know, or another one. I'm going, ugh. Listen, they got together and they're not just doing the Passover. They're going to do the whole nine yards. They're going to do the Passover and unleavened bread. They're going to celebrate for 7 days. I read ahead. They're going to celebrate for 14 days because these people are stoked. I just kind of, so you won't leave, so you'll stay and know what's coming, right? So listen, they're all excited. They're doing that. And verse 14, they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. And you know, I think some of this is recapping kind of what was happening over the years. But they took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. They took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. Listen, they got convicted. The Levites and the priests are going. And I think part of it, their conviction is they maybe were pushing people away. I know some of them even got involved in false worship when Ahaz was king. So listen, now they're all coming back. Bottom line, here's what they're saying. That group is repenting and changing and coming back, and they're serving the Lord and serving the people. So then verse 16 says, they stood in their place according to the custom, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, and the priests sprinkled the blood received from the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lamb for everyone who was not clean to sanctify them to the Lord. Here's what's going on. You were to take your lamb. You were the one that was to kill the lamb. You were to do it. But a whole bunch of them that came from Manasseh and Ephraim and the places, they couldn't do it because they weren't cleansed yet. They weren't purified yet. So the Levites said, that's okay, we'll do it for you. That's kind of cool, huh? Some people are going, no, that's not kosher, dude. Like, you can't do that. They did it. Oh, but you can't be doing that, man. I know what the law says, and the law says you have to do it, and if you're not sanctified, you're just not sanctified, and you surely can't do it on the third month. We're already stretching it by going to the second month, and we're just not going to change that much. And the Levites are going, we don't care, man. These are our brothers. They have a right to celebrate. They're here. So we're going to do this for them, man. We're gonna do it. And so listen, the Levites did it. And then it tells us for a number of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves. Yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. Listen, so they ate it, man. The Levites gave it to them and they ate it. Oh, no. Do you ever get uptight when you see somebody do something that's a Christian and you kind of have that? Someone has to do CPR on you, maybe a little shock treatment. Come back. Here's the thing. These guys came from Israel. They came all the way down to celebrate. Yeah, they weren't clean according to the law. But why did they come to Jerusalem? Why did they come to the temple? I want you to think about why did they come? They came to worship their God. Listen, they finally broke through to some of them that all that they were doing up in Israel and in Samaria and in Dan and Bethel as they were worshiping those golden cows, it was wrong. And now they finally come and they come home, and I'm sure some of you are going, no, you can't do this. And the Levites are going, come on. Let's do this. Why? We're going to see in a minute why. Listen to what Hezekiah, man. Hezekiah steps in because he can hear the gasp of people, right? But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Here's what he's saying. When your heart is seeking God, I'm not talking about just they're sincere. I'm talking about they're sincerely seeking the God of the Bible. That's who they were seeking. And they were doing it sincerely. Their heart was focused. Listen, their heart is focused on worship, but they're not cleansed. But their heart is focused on worship. And here's what Hezekiah is saying. God, just don't hold this against them, man. They're eating some lamb. They're here. They're our brother. Don't you love Hezekiah at this point? What a king, man. What a guy. And he is like, he is so in love with his God, so he prays for them. And verse 20 says, and the Lord didn't listen to him, and he killed them all. No, what does it say? And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Is this cool? People are going, I don't know, man. They still didn't do it right. What's right? Well, right is according to right. We know right. We got it in front of us, man. We've read Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Well, what if I can't get cleansed? What if I am blowing it? But man, I want to get close to God. No, we need to push you further away from God. I want to come to God. Don't you love this, man? The Lord heard it. So now, look, it escalates to me. So the children of Israel, in verse 21, the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. Did you get that? With great gladness. Not just gladness, great gladness, man. There is a celebration going on. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. Amen. Wow, man, don't you know a celebration was going on? Listen, I don't think it was just we killed some lambs and we did this. Woo-hoo! Man, I think, listen carefully. I'm going to give away the last verse. This hasn't happened in 200 years. Do you understand what's going on? Are you kind of getting the picture? Listen, Christians. They came together. Israel came together. They haven't done that in 200 years. They haven't done that. And now they're together, man. I read that and, hey, there's some celebrating going on. And there's a reason to celebrate because God is good. And they're understanding how good He is. Now, you need to know something. Out here, as they're celebrating, out here, a guy is wanting to come in and kill them all. But right now, they're ignoring him. We don't care about you, you big bully. You know, you just stay out there. We're busy, listen carefully, worshiping our God and loving our God. So this is so good. So they're, again, They're accompanied by loud instruments. And Hezekiah gave encouragement. Listen to Hezekiah. He gives encouragement to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord. Oh, by the way, it sounds like there was teaching going on, huh? There's not just worship in music. There's worship in the Word, right? They're teaching the good Word of the Lord. And then he says, and they ate throughout the feast 7 days. That's the good part, man. They're eating for 7 whole days. I think they're eating day and night for 7 days. Listen, and then it says there's for 7 days offering peace offering and making confessions to the Lord God of their fathers. Wow, what a tremendous time. Then the whole assembly, verse 20, agreed to keep the feast another 7 days, and they kept it another 7 days with gladness. Listen, we're not done yet. You ever get to the point of sometimes you're just not done? Let's keep going. I know sometimes people tell me that, you know, as they're going out, why didn't you just keep going? Because we have kids ministry, that's why. We got kids over there, and I don't want to wear them out. We could keep going, but, you know, I had a friend one time who ministered up with the Navajos. And when the Navajos used to do a, quote, revival, it's kind of just a long meeting, but they, you know, call them revival. But when they would do their big time, they would meet nonstop 24/7. And they would just go. They would start on one day, and they would just keep going. And this one guy, man, he's trying to hang with them. Like, he's in this meeting, and he's been there for 24 hours. Then all of a sudden, he's been there 36 hours, man. And he's been there, you know, and he's like this. He's like, I can't stay awake, man. And he's, like, trying so hard. And this is going on for, like, 4 days. He knows he's not going to make 4 days. He's barely made 2 days. And he's like dying. And he went to somebody. He goes, how do you guys do it? And he goes, oh, we go take naps, and we come back. Oh, well, you know, and no offense to anybody, but, you know, because they all looked similar, and he didn't know them. He didn't know they were coming and going, you know, and he's just like, oh. So, listen, sometimes, listen, it doesn't mean you're spiritual because you can worship for 4 days. That doesn't, but man, these guys are on it, aren't they? Let's keep going. Here's somebody goes, hey, it's over. No, we're not done yet. Let's keep going, right? So they go and it says, listen, and they agreed to keep the feast another 7 days, and they kept it another 7 days with gladness for Hezekiah. Now check this out, man. This was a feast. Listen to this. Verse 24, for Hezekiah the king of Judah gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep, and the leaders gave the assembly 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. What is that? 2,000 bulls and 17,000 sheep? Woo! That is a feast, right? Man! And isn't it amazing that Hezekiah gave out of his first, and then the leaders matched them? And man, they're going, listen, that's crazy, all of that. So there was great joy in verse 25, the whole assembly of Judah rejoiced. Also the priests and the Levites, all the assembly that came from Israel, the sojourners who came from the land of Israel, and all those who dwelt in Judah. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there has been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Why was there nothing like it? Did they never do Passover since the time of Solomon? No, I think they did Passover. But they did Passover as divided kingdom. They haven't been together since Solomon, remember? Go back and read your history. They've been separated. Never before in the life since Solomon have they come together and done this. What a great day for Israel / Judah. They're back together, man. I read that and I go, yes, because you know what? It was never God's intention for them to be separate. So, man, what a day of celebration. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. Now, that's great, right? I love getting together corporately and worshiping and loving the Lord, and I love what getting together with other believers does for me. And I love when excitement happens. I love the emotional part of Christianity. But true Christianity, true repentance, a true work of God is going to show up in other places. It's not just going to stop on the mountaintop. You're not just going to have that great experience and then go away and then now nothing in your life has changed. Here's what I love about this section. This carries on throughout Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all the way up into Israel or Samaria. Listen, man, this flow, this work of the Spirit in the hearts of the people just flows out, and when they go home, they're changed, and the people know it. So let's read that. Let's check that out. This is verse 1 of chapter 31. Now, when all of this was finished, all Israel... There we are again, all Israel. Notice he emphasizes that. Well, maybe I do. But notice this is all Israel several times. All Israel who were prepared went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars from Judah to Benjamin, listen, Ephraim, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Listen, they're cleaning house. And I think we should do that. I think as Christians, we should do that. I think we should do that often. You know, do you ever come to church or go to church or get up in your quiet time or whatever, and God convicts you, and you got to clean some house, you got to get rid of some things? That's a good thing. It's going to change everything that's going on with these two nations as they come together. But Hezekiah noticed something. Man, now listen, now he's reinstituted temple worship. Listen, that got messed up in the Civil War, but it even got really messed up during his dad. They either combined it with other worship, or he just completely shut down the temple. Remember, we read that last time. So Hezekiah's now bringing all that back. Who's going to take care of all the priests and their families? Hezekiah, listen what he says, verse 2, and Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites according to their divisions, each man according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offering and peace offerings, to serve and give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. The king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, the morning offering and the evening burnt offering, the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and the new moons, and set feasts as it was written in the law of the Lord. Here's what he says. I got the stuff. You guys do the work. I'll bring the offerings. I'll bring what we need. Moreover, verse 4, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. So here's what he's saying. We got this together. We got to do this. Now, we got to take care of the priests so that they can do what God has called them to do, to devote themselves so they can teach us, right? To do the law of the Lord and to teach us the law of the Lord. Now, something you need to understand, the second month is kind of squeezing in and bumping in to the harvest time. And how remarkable it was that they stayed for an extra 7 days in the midst of it's time to harvest. Remember back then, they didn't have, you know, they couldn't text somebody and say, hey, take care of the harvest for me, I'm celebrating. Now, they had to get back. And so that just speaks to the heart of the people, how excited they were to be in the midst of that. Now they got to go back. And here's the thing that I found. Whenever you give to the Lord, He kind of gives back more. And I'm not talking about monetarily. I'm talking blessing-wise in your life. And by blessing, again, I don't mean materially. I mean blessing. And you see these people, man, now they got to go back. And here's what Hezekiah says. Hey, when you go back and you do your harvest, and it might be a little late and things might be a little bit funky, but hey, you know what? Don't forget, we're going to take care of these priests. So you guys need to give. Listen, I don't think they've been given to the Lord. I know Samaria, the Israelites, haven't been given for centuries. I don't think the people in Judah have been given for very long, at least during the reign of his dad, for a few decades. He's going, hey, we got to take care of these guys. Now look at what Israel does. He just mentions that, hey, these guys, we need to make sure that they're taken care of and they're going to devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Verse 7, as soon as the commandment, underline that, man, as soon as the commandment came out of his life, or out of his life, or his mouth. But listen, as soon as he gave it, it says, listen, as soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel, don't you love it now? Now it's not Judah and Israel, it's the children of Israel that are together. The children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of the grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field, they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. Here's what's going on. Notice they brought in the first fruit, not the last fruit. They didn't pay all of their bills and their taxes and everything else and then give to God, right? They brought in the first fruit. That's always scary. Isn't it scary to give to God first? Some of you are going, I don't know. Well, maybe you should try it. It's scary to give to God first because then you're going, what if? And you start second guessing and the enemy comes in. Man, are you stupid or what? Yeah, a little bit, but I'm going to trust God. They brought it in and notice it was abundantly. Listen, I'm not saying they had an abundant crop. I'm saying they brought in abundantly. They wanted to give. Why? Because God had worked in their lives. Listen, you don't give to God to get blessed. You give to God because you are blessed. And you want to give to Him because you're blessed. I hate it when I hear people say, if you give to God, He'll get back. Pressed down, you know, punched in, sevenfold of whatever you give to Him. Whenever I hear those guys do that, I go, why don't you try it first? What are you telling me to do it for? So I give to you. Why don't you do it first? But I do know this. If you give because you are blessed, then the blessings are going to flow. Once again, I'm not talking about materially. You can be so free. So listen, I love this, man. The people are like, hey, there's someone knocking on their door. You can read the next chapter, man. They're right there. They're in the next chapter. They're coming. And what are they doing? They're giving to the work of God. Doesn't matter. Listen, man, I love it, man. They gave abundantly. Oh, it gets better. Listen, they gave abundantly of tithe of everything, verse 6, and the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep and also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and they laid it in heaps in the third month. Listen, they left the second month. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps and they finished the seventh month. Whoa, man, for 4 months, they're bringing junk in. Can you imagine? They're putting it in piles. It's like piling up. You know, in Malachi, I like to call him Malachi, the Italian prophet. You know, I love what he says. So listen, well, here's what he says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's what they're doing. That there may be food in my house. And then I love this. Here's what he says. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Here's what God says. Why don't you test me? Bring it in, test me. God's not afraid. Come on. He's saying, I love that, man. I can hardly wait to meet Malachi. Talk to him a little bit and what it was like. And then he says, listen, test me. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be enough room to receive it. Again, I don't think he's just talking materially. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Test me, the Lord says. These guys are bringing it in. It says they're in heaps. And they finished on the seventh month, verse 8. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Listen, I think Hezekiah walked up and went, what on earth is going on? And listen, now you have another dilemma. How are we going to take care of all the heaps? We got all this stuff. How are we going to take care of it? What are we going to do with it? I have this crazy imagination. I'm looking at just piles and piles and piles of grain and you know, all the crops coming in and everything piled up and a bunch of oxen and a bunch of sheep. And, you know, they're all like, what are we going to do with all this? So somebody says, we got to get organized. Pastors are not. That's why we need people around us. So he saw all the heaps. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. Here's what he says. Hey, you guys, what you going to do with the heaps? Don't worry, we got this, boss, right? And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. Here's what he's saying. We've been eating off of this stuff for months, man. We can't eat it all, so we got to figure out what to do with it. We're trying really hard. So then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes and the dedicated things, and then Kenaniah, the Levite, had charge of them, and Shammai, his brother, was next. So listen, now here's what we're going to do. Here's what's going on. I'm sorry, in verse 11 it says, Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord. So here's what's going on. You got these heaps of stuff. So then, in the next couple of verses, I'm not going to go through all these names. Next couple of verses, we're going to read about a few guys. Listen, there's like three guys he appoints, and then guys under him to take care of the heaps, right? Because you got to take care of the heaps. And that's all he's doing. Now listen, I think for us, we're reading it. It's hard for us to pronounce these names. They're difficult names. They're not names. But here's what you need to know. The people reading this knew who these guys were. And it blessed them. And they got it. So you have, you know, you have Conaniah, the Levite in charge, and then Shemaiah's brother, and you know, others. And then it tells us, that, go down to verse 15. And towards the end of that, we have Shechaniah. And then it says, listen, Shechaniah, his faithful assistants in the cities of the priests. Now, here's what's going on. These are the guys, they were all listed. They had assistants in the cities. And here's what they did. They were there to distribute allotments to their brethren by division, to the great as well as the small. Here's what's going on, man. They developed a team to take care of it. And the team began to distribute it. Not Hezekiah, not Conaniah, the high priest. They spread it out. And they got these workers. And then they began to take care of it. And here's what I love. The great as well as the small. Besides, look at verse 16. They even had little guys there. Besides those males from 3 years old and up who were written in the general, in the genealogy, they distributed to everyone who entered the house of the Lord his daily portion for the work of his service by division. And the priests who were written in the genealogy according to their father's house, and to the Levites from 20 years old and up according to their work by their divisions, and to all who were written in the genealogy, their little ones and their wives and their sons and their daughters, the whole company of them, for in their faithfulness to this, they sanctified themselves in holiness. Also the sons of Aaron, the priests who were in the fields of the common lands of their cities, in every single city there were men who were designated by name to distribute the portions to all the males among the priests and to all who were listed in the genealogies among the Levites. So bottom line, the people brought in, they got heaps, the heaps got distributed. That's what he's letting us know. Got distributed to such a degree that even, you know, listen, no family was hurting. And here's what I found, man. When God's people come together, we can do some amazing things. Our fellowship does amazing, amazing things when we come together and we work on something. And it's always a blessing. So listen, they came, they succeeded, they did it. Then Hezekiah, listen. And then it says thus, verse 20, Hezekiah did throughout all Judah and did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And every work that he had began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did with all of his heart. So he prospered. Wow, you gotta love that. Man, those are some good chapters, huh? Man, we're reading what God is doing. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us, I think a lot of us feel this way. I think a lot of us feel like, man, if I'm a Hezekiah, then the Lord kind of owes me. You might want to read ahead. Because, man, things don't go real well for him. And we kind of expect that. And again, I think a lot of people, when we give to God, we expect him to do certain things. No, you're giving to God. Again, I'm telling you, if you're not giving to God because you're blessed, my Bible says that we need to give to God hilariously. In other words, you need to enjoy giving to God. If you can't give to God with joy, don't give. You need to know something. God's not broke. He's not in a financial bind. He's listened to Dave Ramsey several times. Knows how to manage things. He's not in a bind. And I get so bummed when I hear people act like God's in a bind. It just bugs me. We don't give to help God out. We give because we're blessed and because he's blessed us. And man, then you have a joy, then you can laugh about it, then you can enjoy it. And the last thing it should bring is strife, especially, you know, sometimes people talk to me in marriages, there's strife, and that bums me, you know, as far as giving. And I get it, sometimes we're unequally yoked, or sometimes we're just married to a stingy gut. I don't know what's going on, but listen, it should be a joy. And I read this section, and people weren't coming in. All right, here, take it. And they're piling up in heaps. And I think some people are going, man, I'm going to pile a bigger heap than your heap, man, because I want my heap to outdo your heap, and I'm going to out-heap you. And men are giving like crazy. Is that good? And Hezekiah did what Hezekiah did because he loved God. And he did it with all of his heart. All of his heart. Gotta love this guy, huh? Hezekiah, bad times are coming, bro. You need to read ahead. You need to read. Listen, read the next chapter. Read the rest of the chapter of 18. And then go back into where we left off in Isaiah 36, 37, 38. Intense time for Hezekiah. After all of that, man, you would think, and then Hezekiah lived happily forever. No, it's going to get tough. It's going to get hard. Because here's what I found, man. When we really start trusting God, He sees that He can trust us in a way. And He goes, okay, man, I'm going to throw you a curveball because I know you can hit it. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word and, Lord, this section in Scripture. And, Lord, how encouraging it is. And some of us tonight probably came tired, worn out. It's in the middle of the week. We come after work, try and crowd in here. And I know some of us kind of run in late. And man, we're worn out. And yet, God, as we come before You and we lift up our hearts in singing and lift up our hearts in Your Word, we all of a sudden get refreshed and rejuvenated. And now we can be men and women who rightly represent You to our families, to our neighbors. Tomorrow can be a day, God, where we influence the lives of people that we come in contact with because we spent time with our God. And I thank You. I thank You for this passage that declares that You're worthy to be worshipped. That You're worthy to be worshipped even when things aren't going our way like they weren't going for Israel. And yet they came to that time of celebration. And I know that they were blessed. And I know that they were strengthened. And so God, I pray for us tonight that just reading through this would have encouraged any of us who are discouraged, any of us who are tired. And it would do that work in our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.